Next case, please.
The next case is 11953 Selco Partnership, doing business as Verizon Wireless. Donna Kay and Richard H. Harris are seeking a special use exception to place a telecommunication tower, sections 115, 194.2, and 115.23C of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Hitch Pond Road, Road 463, approximately 1,400 feet north of RV Road, Route 451. The 911 address is 34401 Hitch Pond Road, Laurel. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 332, Map 9, Parcel 4.03. We received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and no mail returns.
While I get prepared to be sworn at.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sue Manchow, 104 Christian Street, Philadelphia, PA 19147.
Sean Sachs, 2000 Midlandic Drive, Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Andrew Peterson, 3230 Water Street Road, Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
Do you all three swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board. John Tracy from Young Conaway, Stargett and Taylor here on behalf of Selco Partnership. With me are the folks who were just sworn in, Andy Peterson, who you know, who's been our RF engineer on a number of these that you've seen, Sean Sachs, who works with Mike Cleary, who's the civil engineer, and then Sue Manchell, who's been responsible for a number of the site acquisitions you've seen me here for over the last few years. I'll go ahead and give an overview of the application. We've obviously submitted the reports that we typically do, and both Andy and Sean will be here to answer any questions that you all may have after this presentation. As the application indicates, we're seeking a 100 approval for a special use permit for a 145-foot tall cell tower that would have a 5-foot lightning rod on top of it. It's an application that meets all of the basic zoning requirements for these requests. We're not seeking any variances for setbacks or lot size. We will be accommodating the ability to co-locate in accordance with the code. We do have the required fencing around the compound. We will be using and expanding an existing driveway that leads to the middle of this property. If you noted from the aerial photograph that was there previously, this is not quite as large as the properties you've seen us here before you in the past, although it is almost 9 acres in size. It is very heavily treed, and we're taking advantage of that by essentially locating the structure in the middle of the trees that are on the property. There are existing agricultural uses, primarily chicken uses, to our immediate north and to our east, and there's larger lot, single-family lots to the southern side of the property.
I just wanted to tell you for a minute, you're standing right there when where all these lights, police lights are on, and I'm a little nervous because I just got a ticket for speaking on the phone. So if you move just a little.
If you think you're nervous, my site acquisition person who's from out of state got a ticket on the way down here tonight.
Oh, so. My God.
I don't think she's, like, needed you to tell that.
you guys are.
That's why he gets cursed at.
You've heard us here before. I mean, these applications arise because we have significant gaps in coverage. As the engineering report that was submitted to you indicates, the number of cell-only households is only increasing as folks move away from the landlines. Add to it, not just because the emergency lights for this solemn ceremony behind me are here, but you have greater reliance on 911 on being able to utilize this kind of technology to make calls, to ask for assistance or to render assistance. And as you've heard me say in the past, when we get to these points where we have these gaps in coverage, we're given a search ring, and we look to find an accommodating landlord that we can put a structure on their site. Now, the first thing you do is you look look for sites that are within the two-mile radius that the code asks us to look at to see if we can co-locate. In this instance, the closest structure was nearly 3 miles away, well outside of the area that we needed to serve and would not be able to accommodate, and that's dictated in the report. So we provided you with both before and after pictures for the site we've chosen that demonstrate this location identified as Pond House does effectively fill the gap in coverage. There's a second slide that shows the green fill-in on the report. There you go. That shows how we are dealing with this gap in coverage and significantly being able to remedy the situation. In addition, as we're required to do, we submitted reports demonstrating that we are compliant with FAA in this instance, that we will not be interfering with any other signals that are utilized in this area from different towers or different other over-the-air providers, and that probably most importantly, that we meet the federal emissions standard for this location. In fact, doing as what you've heard in the past, all kind of worst case scenario, all fully loaded with additional co-locators, everything turned on, standing right underneath the tower itself, we still are 160 times below the standards that the federal government requires for these types of locations. We provided you, and I know you've been looking at the fully completed site plan that shows again that we meet all of the zoning requirements for this particular structure. As the board is aware, because we are not seeking any variances, the only standard that is applicable to this application is there a substantially adverse effect on adjoining properties? And obviously, you've always heard me the answer this the same way. The answer to that is no. In addition to the fact that we have chosen a site that is heavily treed, so even though smaller, we're allowed to locate the structure in an area where there's a lot of natural screening. In addition, these facilities do not tax resources in any way, shape, or form. There's no school demand. There's no traffic generation. There's no smells. There are no noises. There's nothing else of that sort that would impact properties negatively. And again, as you saw from that original aerial photograph, we are right next to and right behind existing chicken houses. So one could argue that potentially those may have more of an impact on adjoining properties than others. And I did want to do one other thing. Because we are a smaller property, I did go out and kind of drive the area and take photographs for purposes of this. You'll assume that both hands were on the wheel. But as you will notice,
I am noticing,
and I will return to the podium in a moment. This is a unique street because it has a lot of existing tree line on the street. So as you're driving, the front photos are kind of the intersection. You're working down south and then coming back north. You'll get to a photo in the middle that shows some red buildings. That's the chicken houses that are immediately next to this property. But what you can see is there's a lot of tree coverage on this road. So as you're driving down the road, there's a lot of visual buffers. So while it may not be the best site that we've brought to you, it's a site that both meets the zoning as well as provides for as much screening as we can in a situation such as that. With that, I'm just going to bring Sean and Andy up here for just a moment to do the usual Mr. Sharp requirement that I've had my bases covered. Sean, to the extent that I've offered any testimony that applies to civil engineering, is everything that I've stated true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
It is, yes.
Okay. And Andy can come up as well. This is Mr. Peterson, who was sworn in previously. Andy, to the extent that I've offered any testimony touching on the statements in your reports regarding RF requirements and RF findings, is everything that I've stated true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
It is, yes.
And would any of you have any questions for either Mr. Peterson or Mr. Sachs?
Yes, Mr. Peterson.
Yes, sir.
Well, the coverage to the northwest, is there a chance that it would improve to the greater than that to the northwest?
Yeah, what my recommendation here is to Verizon is to actually do some azimuth swinging so we point a one of the sectors directly toward Laurel. The reason this site is not only accommodating a lot of new green area but also accommodating some a significant portion of overlap is to act as a capacity offloader for the sites that are serving into Laurel. So that's why we have to edge the site more northwesterly than we would like to otherwise. Typically, we like these sites out in the middle of a big unserved area. But in this case, this site is kind of a dual-purpose site where it's new coverage, but it's also going to allow for greater capacity in and around the area of Laurel. So to better do that, and this is kind of a first-pass design, but to better do that, my recommendation here is to swing an azimuth generally northwest to point directly at Laurel, absorb more of the traffic there, and then use the other two sectors to better cover into the white areas. So the short answer is yes. I think that after optimization, this will cover.
That's good better. News to me. And my question was selfish. My negative 100 dB gain signal plus, after all the towers have been put around Laurel, just haven't improved, and it appears this will address that. So there is a need. I can attest to that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I was just going to say that has improved this will improve the area, the reception.
Correct.
In that area that I've heard complaints over there, not only John's, but I've heard complaints about the reception in that area.
Needed.
I was in the area with my phone. I was driving this site as well as another site that's not that far from here. And
yeah. Right.
I was not able to maintain my calls.
Maintain it.
Using Bluetooth.
Yeah, right. I said in my living room.
You were using Bluetooth?
Absolutely.
Okay, good for you.
Is anyone, Mr. Horton? No more. Okay, no further questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
The lighting on this.
Compliant with the code.
The question that I've got is, I think in your application it says not required by the FCC at all. Are you aware if it's needed, if there's any potential conflict there with having it lit to code with FAA?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay.
FAA usually comes in and says whether you have to or not, but they're not necessarily going to say anything if their determination is no, but the code requirement is yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that question's come up to staff at some point. So we just wanted to make sure that you guys had an issue or where.
No, we haven't had on any of the sites that we've done, not only in Sussex County, but in other jurisdictions where, in most instances, the FAA is not requiring lighting. There's been a few we've done proximate to airports where it's been required by FAA as well as this code. But in all the others that we've lit in accordance with your code, we have not had any pushback from the FAA that I'm aware of.
I think we have, though, had heard testimony in the past that because the county early on required that lighting, that it sometimes conflicts with what FAA does not require and therefore throws false impressions or whatever. So
it hasn't occurred on any of the ones that I've been involved in that I've been aware of. I mean, I will tell you, honestly, the very first one that I did down here 7-8 years ago, the first pass was, well, why do we need to light this? It's in the middle of nowhere. And we were going to ask for a variance. And prior counsel discouraged us from pursuing that route.
Right.
And we, in turn, did not, because it was something specifically that was included in the code. I would not suggest that maybe you might, the powers that be, want to maybe go back and look at the code and maybe, for instance, have one light on top as opposed to three. One every 50 feet.
Right.
Again, Kent County haphazardly determines whether they want it to be lit or not. They defer to the FAA, but they have made it a condition in a few applications. And Newcastle County, if my recollection is correct, it's in compliance with the FAA if it needs to be. If they require you to light it.
I don't think they require anything at 50 feet that we do.
No, this is the only jurisdiction I'm aware of that has the incremental lighting. Everybody else, when they do, is usually one on top.
Right.
Yeah, King County, we're down Apple School Road. They just put up there in Hartley.
Yeah.
And it's that one.
That's one that I got approved, and it's one that a gentleman appeared at the hearing who, to be candid, may have had conflicted motives, but...
He
was also talking about crop dusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was his concern that night.
And so the levy board commissioner, I think it was Mr. Buxton, he asked for it to be lit, but it's not been a standard request. They've done it on maybe three or four that I've done there, and on six or seven others, they haven't asked for.
Yeah, and I think the crop dusting has been something in the past. I know Mr. Work.
We used to have that. Yeah, that was an issue that.
But, you know, it has been an issue come up. That's why I ask it.
I know we had some questions between whether it had to be lit or whether it had to be flashing. I think Sue had some conversations with Janelle maybe a year and a half ago on what type of lighting needed to be on there.
So. The only other question, any discussions with any neighbors about this? And if you have, what feedback have you gotten?
No, none feedback we've gotten. The property owners are here as well.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty then. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one, two, three. And you wish to speak? Okay, if not, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Sure. Well, you need to come up front, sir, and be sworn in, and then, now you are in opposition to it, sir?
Not just a few questions,
Okay, you need to come up and be sworn in then, please, and then we'll take them.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Darrell Hastings, 9269 Sharptown Road, Marble, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you've got questions, you can ask them to the board, then maybe we can ask them to the applicant or whomever.
Okay. How tall would this tower room be?
The applicant has testified it'll be 145 feet with a 5 foot tall lightning rod at the top.
And lights on it, you said?
It is required to be lit every 50 feet.
Okay.
And they're supposed to be a steady, it's not a flashing light, it's just a steady, no
that,
blinking or flashing.
Where is that going to be? You got a satellite view a while ago.
So oh, on the property?
Yes.
We could have Mr. Tracy answer that question for you.
We have another.
Did you have any other questions?
No.
There you go. Where's your property in relation to the?
Where?
Yeah.
Sir, that's where it'll be on the property.
My property is back here in the corner, 60 acres back here. So it's going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Answer my question.
Do you have a position on it or?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you. Nope. All right. So, hearing no other opposition, Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11,953 for the following reason, is that they had to prove to us that such exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties, and the presentation this board has indicated that will not affect the neighboring properties as so required in a special use exception.
And Mr. Rickard, just as and you may be getting to it, because it's also the cell tower and we've got the additional cell tower requirements,
right.
Is it also your belief that this meets the requirements under 115.194.2?
Yes. Yes. Sorry I didn't add that to it, but that's that also they meet all the requirements that the county is asking for their cell towers.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,953. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye for the reasons that have been stated.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye for the reasons.
Mr. Workman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
Aye, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,953 is approved.